Good morning, church.
We're starting a new series today, and we're thinking about heroes from the Bible. And we're looking at some stories of different people through the Bible who really are just ordinary people like ourselves. But through faith and obedience to God have done amazing things. So that's where our series starts. And I'm talking about Abraham. He's the hero of faith that we're talking about today. And I've spent quite a few days reading all the background about Abraham. And Abraham, for the majority of his life, was called Abram. So if I get mixed up and call him Abram or Abraham, forgive me. And the same with his wife Sarah. For the majority of her life, she was called Sarai, with an I instead of a H. So if I call her Sarah, it's okay. The point that God changed their names was the point he made a covenant. He renewed and refreshed the covenant with them. And in changing their names, that was significant. We'll come back to that. Abraham means father of many. And that was God's promise for Abraham, that he was going to be the father of many. He was going to have many descendants. There would be more than the stars in the sky. Now, I don't know about you, but if you look at that on a clear night, that's quite a few descendants. And it actually puts in the Bible, if you can count these. That's what God's saying to Abraham. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff and stories about Abraham in the Bible. So I'm just picking out a few stories so we can get some pointers about his life and how they affect our lives. The first and main thing that I want to draw our attention to was that Abraham was a man who listened to God and responded. Now that seems, in one level, very straightforward. And the reality is that it actually is straightforward to listen to God and to respond. But then you get other questions. Well, how do we listen to God? Well, the amazing thing is, there is no formula. Is there a set way then? Well, the answer is no. And as you hear lots of different stories of heroes in the Bible over the coming weeks, you'll hear how God communicates, tells stories to these people in different ways. God is a personal God. He communicates in special ways with each of them, with each of us. So the fact he's done it in one way to somebody doesn't mean that's the way he's going to speak to you. What difference does it make? Well, the difference is when God speaks to you, when he interacts with your life, it changes your life. It challenges us to listen to what's being said, and it challenges us to respond. So we're going to go through this morning, and I've got quite a number of readings from Genesis, just so that we get a flavour of some of the stories about Abraham. This is the call of Abraham. His name is still the old name at this point. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse them. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is the call of God on Abram. And the interesting thing is that Abraham heard the sound of God speaking to him and didn't dismiss it. He listened to what God was saying to him. And the challenge from God to Abraham was, I need you to listen, and then I need you to take faith steps. Steps to change your life and follow God. Follow God the way he's taking you. Now, they weren't easy steps in any shape or form. We all go through steps that God's taken us to, and quite a lot of them, because he's so kind to us, are small and straightforward steps. But the steps he was asking Abraham are not straightforward. Leave your country. That's a big step. Leave the people that you know. And your father's household. Go to a land where I, God, are going to show you. If you do this, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and those who bless you. There are many people in this church, and I'm suspecting lots of different churches, have taken steps from where they were to move to a new place where God was taking them. Have they all been obedient in those steps? No, I guess not. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Have things always worked out as they expected? I guess not as well. Wendy and I felt God was saying to us that it was time to move on. We'd lived in Burntwood for 35 years. The 35 years that we'd been married, that's where we had developed as a couple and lived. So after a period of praying and searching God, we decided to make that step, a move. And we started looking for churches in Stone and Trentham. And we started attending one of those churches, and we'd been going for 9 months. Quite a long time. Because obviously we're really spiritual people, so we knew the right way to do things. And after the sale of our house had fallen through 4 times, we ended up moving into my mum and dad's house. Was this part of the plan? No. But it was a good stopgap. We stopped going to the church we were going to. Basically, we said to them, because we'd had this really deep answer, we have no idea what's going on. We don't know what God's saying. We don't know where we're supposed to be going. So it was all really, no, wasn't clear at all. Had no idea what the hell was going on. However, we'd made those steps, and we came to Rugeley Community Church. You might know it. And straight away, we felt God said, this is your home. This confirms to me that God's got an amazing sense of humour, hasn't he? When you think you're actually stepping out in the right direction and going the way you're going, he has plans, but actually we need to work those through. And as I think about those plans, and I think about Abraham, and I think about God saying, by the way, I want you to move to another country you've never been to. In fact, you've probably never heard of. I want you to move away from your own people, your own family. Think about it in their times. I mean, it's a big thing in this time to do that. Think of their times. They were going to places they had no idea and no experience about. Was that pretty hard? I would say yes. Genesis 12, 4 to 5 says, "So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old, and when he set out for Haran, he took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there." This was a major move for these families, servants and livestock. It involved lots of people. And I love the bit where it says it finishes and it says, "and they arrived." That's brilliant, isn't it? Nothing indicating the stress, the upheaval, the whole move that that's caused them. If you've moved house or moved area, this is not straightforward. And this was God saying to them, "I want you to move, but I'm not telling you where you're going or what it's like or what it's going to be." It was major. Abraham had heard God speaking to him, but he needed to share God's heart with his wife, Sarah, and his nephew, Lot, and Lot's wife. I'm sure that they weren't sure about this major upheaval either. And where was this special land anyway? And was Abraham okay? Has he lost it? Has he really gone over the edge? Or had he really heard from God? And they were actually asking those questions themselves because it was the one Abraham that had heard and he had to share his heart with them. But there is something special about hearing God. There's something different about when we listen. I'm sure sometimes when people have heard God, they can become perhaps cocky or arrogant. But the thing I want to draw on is the reality is that God's presence is on that person. Where the listener, the person who has heard from God, gets of something God is doing in their lives. I could dwell, and I'm not going to, on those people who have heard and then actually become controlling and manipulating after hearing God. If you've never experienced that, you've been blessed. I certainly have been that experience, and I would question whether I might have done that to others as well in my own sense. But I want us to concentrate on seeing and understanding the inner peace that God puts on somebody after he's spoken to them. Look on it in a positive way. And I think, to be fair, as church, we're beginning to understand that in a new way and understand what that means to us. This is Genesis 12, verse 7. "The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So Abraham built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him." Abraham had been faithful to what God had spoken to him about. Then in this story it says that the Lord appears to him. There is no sense here that this isn't the natural thing, that it's a natural part of his life. But I'm guessing if God appeared to us as he appeared to Abraham, I'm sure that would cause us a bit of concern. We would be a bit overwhelmed, a bit frightened, a bit concerned. However, there is something that's happened to Abraham because he has learned to listen and to do. And because he's learned to listen from God and do and respond, he's able to experience and share that experience when he meets God for the first time. But he's actually got to share that experience with his family and Lot's family. All the time, he's got to be the person that intercedes to the rest of the family to actually explain, this is what God's telling me. This is what God's telling us as a family. This is where God's taking us. Because he's taking us to an unknown place. To signify and remember this special experience and encounter from God, Abraham built an altar. Not only did that altar remind Abraham and his families, but also the peoples for all time, that this was a place that he'd met with God and was encouraged. Now, we have experiences of God speaking to us. We have experiences of encountering God. One of the ways we share is actually telling those encounters as God stories. This is not only to help us as we tell that God story, to remind us of that encounter, which is a good thing to do, but also it encourages other people. As we share steps of faith that we've gone through, other people will go, well, if he's doing it for them, God will do it for me. And that's why Abraham built this altar. This is a place to remember. God has appeared to me and spoken to me. Another way we can do that is to write things down, to write those encounters with God. However that has happened, it might be words or pictures or prophecies, and whether those have come directly to us or through somebody else, it's important that we write things down or in some way try to remember. Why? Because we have a terrible habit of forgetting. We forget what the amazing God has done for us, how he's blessed us, how he's encouraged us, and how he's strengthened us. This is Genesis 12, verses 11 and 13. And as he was about to enter Egypt, Abraham said to his wife Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but let you live. Can you say that you are my sister, so that I'll be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you? The actual photograph is from a series Kevin told me about, which is from a series called The Bible, The Epic Ministries. And it's a good way of getting to know an overview of stories from the Bible. And I wanted to just share this story to give you a feel that even though Abraham was declared as a righteous man, a man of faith, he was still an ordinary man, very human. It helps us to relate to him, to understand how God sees us. Because of the famine, Abraham and Sarah and their families moved south to Egypt. And Abraham was worried about his own life. Very normal sort of guy. As he traveled with his wife, who is very beautiful, he was worried that the Egyptians were going to kill him and take Sarah. Which would, of the way you read the scripture, is what likely to have happened. Abraham's answer to this is to say to Sarah, okay, I want you to lie, I want you to tell them that you're my sister. So that they And he was actually encouraging them that they would actually still take her and do whatever, but they would spare his life. Now, as I'm thinking about this story, I'm thinking, this is not a high point in their relationship, is it really? You know, this is not something you're going to share with your mate. It says, this is a good time. That he was basically saying, oh, tell them your sister and they can have your way with you, but at least they won't kill me. Now, as a married couple, I'm suspecting this is not a good point to share. And it's interesting because Abraham's working out his solutions to the problem and not looking to God to get the solution. A very human way of doing it. And it's interesting because when it actually happens, God actually puts a curse on these people, which they weren't over too impressed about. And they're going, why are you lying to us? He's a very human character, this Abraham. And then we read of Sarah. At one point, she decides, I'm going to solve this problem because, you know, God's obviously not got it in hand. He needs a bit of help, doesn't he? So she decides, even though there's a promise that she's going to have a baby, obviously God must have forgotten because it's gone on too long. So she decides that she encourages her husband to sleep with one of the servants. Again, an interesting point in their relationship, isn't it really? Understandably, and when you read the stories, which actually are quite a number of chapters, they have all sorts of problems. They obviously hadn't experienced counseling or Zozo at that particular time in the Bible. It's not particularly relationship building, is it? The point being in sharing these two stories is that they made some unbelievably huge mistakes, and yet God still uses them. And Abraham is declared by God as a man of faith. If God can use somebody like that, he can use you and me. This is Genesis 15. This is where God promises a son to Abraham again, and a covenant for Abraham. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Again, you have given me no children, so the servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took Abraham outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Don't be afraid. I think any time that God's going to appear, so we need to be just a bit. But he's reaffirming, I am your shield. I am your great reward. Again, Abraham listens and is amazed by what God's saying to him. But I'm fascinated by this little story because Abraham comes back. He's got a few questions. Okay, God, you know, you might know all this stuff, but Sovereign Lord, how can you give me this since I am childless? And that there is going to be no member of my family who's going to be the heir. Hang on, God. How is this all going to happen then? I have no heirs. Abraham doesn't give up. He keeps asking. You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. God's response is clear. The word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir. And God confirms his promise to Abraham. But a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said to him, look up at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as being righteous. Again, we see that God, Abraham listens to God, is not afraid. He's built up that sort of relationship with God. He's not afraid to actually ask some questions of God. Then believes what God's saying to him, and he's blessed and encouraged. And he's put down as being a faithful man, a righteous man. Chapter 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk with me faithfully and blameless. Be blameless. And then I'll make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make you nations. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Abraham was 99. It's interesting, isn't it, that actually Abraham didn't encounter God in a real way till he was 75. Gives a hope for us all, really, doesn't it? And at 99, he's still working with him. I think doing anything at 99 is pretty good in my book, so I'm quite encouraged as I'm reading this. At this point, they still haven't had a baby. And Sarah's about 90 years old. But God was sharing with Abraham that he was still with him. I am the God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. God's promise was still the same to Abraham. God was encouraging Abraham to continue to walk faithfully and be blameless. God was reaffirming his promise of many descendants. Descendants. Is that such a word? Descendants is. Okay. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and the kings will come from you. To confirm this covenant with Abraham, God reminded Abraham that he would be the father of nations. This was to continue to encourage and bless Abraham and his family. This was God's promise that Abraham would be fruitful. And this was more than having descendants. This was more than having family. It was influence. That's the difference, that he was talking about Abraham being fruitful and being fruitful not only in numbers, but in influence of what he was doing. To bring God's kingdom to those around him. This is where we are as a church. We are being fruitful in God. We as a church, we as a people are changing. We're becoming more of what it means to be God's. To bring God's kingdom to those around us. Inside and outside the church, through our lives, God is helping us to be fruitful. Last scripture. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre. While he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing there. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. Do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and you may wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed, and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." While they ate, he stood near under the tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "In the tent over there," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind her. Abraham and Sarah were very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, I will now have this pleasure." Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." And he said, "Yes, you did laugh." This is the last story I'm going to mention. God had spoken to Abraham and said that she would be called Sarah now instead of Sarah. And God was going to bless Sarah with a son and was going to become the mother of nations. A blessing and encouragement on Sarah. God revisits Abraham in the form of three visitors. Abraham realizes that these were special visitors, so encourages them to stay and eat with them. As I'm reading this story, I won't even mention the hours that it's taken, because he then sends off people to make bread and sacrifice animals, and I'm just thinking, they obviously weren't that hungry, because it was obviously like 6 hours later, but I won't mention that. God has spoken and appeared to Abraham in many ways. We all have our own experiences of how that happens. And I remember the story of Chris telling his story of a time when they moved to Rugeley. And they were living with Liz's mum. Do you not know this was going to happen? You're looking blank at me. And at that time, I spoke to Chris again just to get me facts straight. He was saying that he hadn't been going to church for 3 years, hadn't prayed, hadn't sought God in any shape or form. He'd really lost his way, and he was feeling pretty desperate. He'd lost his job. They were really struggling. But God had got plans for Chris and Liz. Gets Chris's attention, as Chris went into the airing cupboard. You might try this at home, but I suspect God will speak to you in a different way. But as he went into the airing cupboard, he actually heard God speak to him. And as he describes it this morning, he felt God's basically grabbing by the scruff of the neck and basically saying to him, "I really love you and I care for you." And at that point, I understand Chris was basically at his lowest point. He couldn't do anything in himself to actually rectify the problems they were having. But God cared so much for them, so much for Chris, that actually he grabbed him and brought him back. Because God does speak to us. He does bring experiences to us. That's why we need to remind ourselves. That's why we need to tell God's stories. That's why we need to write things down. They will be in different ways. So if you haven't got an airing cupboard, don't be worried. Okay? God will still find a way. Meanwhile, back at the story. The point God appeared to Abraham to confirm his promises and give that word that Sarah would have a baby next year, which is what happened. Understandably, Sarah thinks this is all quite funny, really. So she laughs. At this point, she realizes this is the wrong reaction. She's laughing, in a sense, in the face of God. And God challenges Abraham and saying, why is she doing that? Doesn't she understand that is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. And the answer is the same to us as the same to Abraham. And we're learning through church, through our experiences, so through the things that are happening to you and me, no, there isn't anything that's too hard for the Lord. This is the changing the way you live. It's changing the way I live because of that understanding that we're actually considering God to actually honour what he says he's going to honour, the promises he's going to bring and the things he's going to change. Abraham is declared as a hero of faith, a righteous man. But Abraham and Sarah still lived ordinary lives and did some really unhelpful things. However, God saw the good in them and encouraged them to be men and women beyond themselves because of their faith and obedience to God. What brilliant examples for us, ordinary people, but God can do amazing things with people. What an amazing man Abraham was. He actually took some amazing steps of faith. But he also made some unbelievably, amazingly stupid decisions in his life. He was an ordinary man. Yet God used him. In faith, Abraham listened to God and responded and ended up doing some outstanding, amazing things. And that's the same challenge for us, that we will, I'm guessing, do some stupid things. I already can register quite a number of those in my life. You might have a couple of things that you might like to think about. Yet, in faith, when we listen to God and to respond, we can do amazing things in God. Because God, through us, can do amazing things. However ordinary we might feel, God wants us to be extraordinary in the faith that we have and the steps that we make. Amen.